Welcome to Crazy Little Thing Called Marriage. I'm Greg.
And I'm Erin. We've been married for 31, almost 32 years. We're marriage counselors and we lead the marriage team here at Focus on the Family. I'm so excited today because we're talking about the importance of marriage and family. That's what Focus is all about. That's what we do here.
Yeah, we really do. And I remember, I mean, there's been many moments that I've been reminded of that importance, but one that really came to mind was when my dad, when he got really sick, he was living here in Colorado Springs, and he realized that just the health challenges that he was facing, that he really needed to get out of the altitude, because we're at about 6,500 feet here in elevation. And so he quickly, you know, we helped him pack up and he headed to Houston to be with my brother and his family. But it, remember, it happened so fast that my mom was kind of caught in this weird place of, do I stay here to help sell the house? Do I go with him? What was going on? And it just felt like all of a sudden, after like 51 years of marriage, they were trying to figure out, how do we even, you know, be together during this kind of health crisis?
And I can remember, it was such a shock to our system as far as like, what's happening? And we were left to do an estate sale and sell the house. And your mom ended up going somewhere else while she waited for your dad to actually remodel or renovate a house.
And I think how it hit me was that here, 51 years of marriage, and this is Gary and Norma Smalley, so two of the foremost early marriage experts, you know, marriage events and all the marriage books that they had done. And here, sort of the last season of their marriage, they weren't even together. Just things had forced them to live in different parts of the country, and that so bothered me. I remember we went on a hike here in Colorado, and you were just asking me, you know, what's going on? I can tell something's going on. And I wasn't really, I wasn't really sure, but the more we talked, the more I realized that that was my fear, is somehow maybe for you and I, you know, doing all this work to keep our marriage strong, and at the very end, we wouldn't even be together. And it was just, it was really good for me just to verbalize that, to process that through with you. Because it brought some clarity that, no, you know what, our marriage, our family, but especially our marriage is so important, that how do we protect it when we get older and maybe go through some health challenges? And I remember through that conversation really getting so inspired to drive down to where my mom was at, that remember I went down, loaded her stuff, put her in a car, and I drove her to where my dad was. Because they were trying to figure it all out. It just, the details weren't coming together. And I finally went, it doesn't matter. Like, you guys have to be together. And I'll never forget that. It's just, it was a great reminder that in whatever season that we might be in our marriage, whatever challenge that we're going through, but it just matters. And we need to fight for that. And I loved that my parents really at the end fought for their marriage and and ended, you know, well as a couple. You know, my dad went to be with the Lord about 8 years ago. And it was inspiring to see my mom care for him and just to see that part of their story. She knows right where he's at. We know where he's at. And we know that we're going to face that same thing someday. But it's just a great reminder of how important marriage and family is. And like you said in the beginning, that's really what we're about here at Focus on the Family. And we've got some excellent segments coming up to where we're going to talk about the importance of marriage and family. And later on, we're going to talk through some fun conversation starters. We love this part because we never get to see what's in the blue bucket ahead of time. So the first time we'll see the questions is when we actually start to answer them. We're going to hear a question from one of our listeners who wants to know, should she keep dating a guy that she feels like maybe she's settling for?
But first, we had an amazing conversation with Joel and Luke Smallbone from For King and Country, as well as their sister, Rebecca St. James, joined in. She's a Christian music artist and co-host of Focus on the Family's Practice Makes Parent podcast. We had an amazing conversation, such a fun conversation, about their new movie, which is all about their family. It's called Unsung Hero. So let's listen to the conversation we had with Luke, Joel, and Rebecca.
One of our very favorite questions to ask is, what is your favorite verse? Doesn't have to be a marriage verse, but that has impacted your marriage.
Yeah.
We have to recognize the elephant in the room before we get to this, though.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no.
Here we go.
So I'll just give it to
you've
us.
Got a bunch of small,
you've never read the
you've
Bible.
Got a bunch of small knees and small bones.
That's true.
In the
this
room.
Is a special moment.
This could be the first special. Time ever in the history of podcasting
I
that we've
so.
Got
yeah.
the I'm small knees and the small bones. Bones.
We kind of did change our name. I'm amazed that they didn't make you guys change your last name.
Oh, they tried.
We're going to call this.
Yeah.
This yeah. podcast is
it
forever
was small
more.
Bone, and they said that's already taken. So we had
the crazy small, smally thing. Called marriage with the smallies and the small bones.
And then we could have a support group to talk about the crazy thing that we've heard growing up.
That's right.
Based on our last name.
But I think it would be so edited out that we wouldn't be able to have anything.
The thing that you do know, Greg, is that Aaron married you for love.
That's true.
And all the Luke's and my wife.
I said that to my wife as well. I was like, you know, I knew it was real when you were willing to take the last name Smallbone.
Actually, that's Aaron's last name. I took her name. So I love
you must
her.
Have
ultimate
oh,
sign of respect.
There you go. All right, Joel, give it to us.
All right. Well, I will go first. This is a long way round to get back to marriage.
Okay.
But I find a lot of intrigue by what's unsaid in this verse. Jesus had
You've
a way
got
of being
us curious.
Jesus had a way of being very sort of extreme with some of his statements.
Yeah.
One of his most extreme statements, speaking of three biological siblings. Sitting before you is if you do not hate your mother and father or brother or sister, you're not worthy of being my disciple. Yet there is no reference to what would be the next closest thing to biology would be a spouse.
Family.
Is it not interesting that he's making this grand statement about, I mean, Jesus was always trying to break down bloodlines, I feel like, throughout his time. But then he makes this grand statement about biology, and yet he omits the next closest to kin relationship, which would be marriage. I actually, in a very backwards way, thought not only does Jesus do his first miracle at a wedding, not only does he use his grandest analogy was the bride and groom, you know, but that even in these moments where he's trying to break down these other things, he's still, even by omission, lifting up the sanctity of the greatest example of what it means to be in union with God, and that is through marriage.
Love it. That's deep and philosophical. Yes.
I know. For a homeschooler, it's a miracle.
Guys, I'm out.
I'm going to drop the mic.
Katie's going to be upset at me.
So now Luke or Rebecca.
Ladies first.
Who can top that?
All right. I know that's a hard one to top, but I'll take Ephesians 5:31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. The part that just stands out to me is the whole leaving and cleaving idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We have a very close family. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've just got this movie out, you know, Unsung Hero, about our family. And it does
amazing
highlight
movie,
the
–
Oh,
it
good.
Is
amazing.
Thank you for taking the time to see it. But it does highlight the closeness of our family and how much we've been through together as a family, highs and lows. And so when you then marry your spouse, I think there is this call to leaving and cleaving and that new primary family becoming your primary. And I think for me, just even recently in my life, maybe the last 5 years even, God bringing me to a new level of prioritizing my marriage and our little family above kind of a bigger family system that you're part of, and the honoring of your spouse and the honoring of your primary family that is in that, and the good and the health of that. So that's why that one came to mind. I think it's a really strong one as it's a call to us to what we're honoring primarily.
It's one of our very favorites. So far, you're winning because
she
left. Wait.
She climbed out.
This is a competition?
If I add something to what she said, can I get back in the runnings?
Maybe. It would be based on what
I will offer a little commentary in that. Isn't it ironic that the whole idea of adoption into the family of Christ, you both know a lot about adoption, is that love – between a man and a woman is primarily choice. You choose one another, not only in the union on your wedding day, but you choose each other throughout your life. And how God is saying, that's the point.
Yeah.
The point of humanity is you choose to love each other. You choose each other through thick and thin. Am I back?
That's really good.
Oh, probably you're winning
yes.
now.
Yes.
Because.
Well, because what are you going to do now?
That's
well, because honestly, we use that verse, the leave and cleave, a lot to talk about the word cleave. When you look at the Hebrew meaning, means close pursuit.
Wow.
So it's an ongoing, how do I continue
that.
To
I
closely pursue?
Now he's winning.
Wow. Is that why you're sitting so close to each
yes.
other?
Yes. And I have all the cool buttons in
you're
front
in
of me, so
chair.
I've already
sense.
Given myself like 10 points. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like to you win. Control a point, don't you?
Exactly.
Luke, you're yes. starting from behind. But,
oh, yeah. no, look.
You're at like
so this one is not one that you're going to think of, and in some cases is a little bit of a life verse for me. And
Jesus
the reason,
wept.
It's the one that is the one that I can remember.
Like us right now.
You've got that one.
Where it's from, but I remember the
it's
words.
It's the middle of the Bible.
Yeah, it's in the New Testament. But anyway, it's got Jesus in it. But no, I have a verse that I read actually in Experiencing God, a devotional when I was probably 12 or 13. And I actually remember, speaking of Jesus wept, I wept over the verse because it actually, it became very, very real to me. And I'm going to, you know, recite the verse and be like, really, that's the one that got you as a 12-year-old? But it did. And it's Psalms 20, verse 7. And it just says, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. And the reason why I even picked this for a marriage verse is I do think in marriage it's very, very easy to trust in a lot of other things.
Right.
There's a lot of other things pulling at your attention. There's a lot of, you know, in our household, Courtney and I, we got 4 kids.
Mm.
You've got career, you've got work, you've got
homeschool.
School, you've got homeschool, you got all the different things. But what is your marriage built on?
Yeah.
You know, and for us, I try to run my life through that verse.
Good.
I run my marriage through that verse
that's
because
so
that's where I find perspective and that's where I find meaning. And so for me, I would love for people to, you know, hopefully decades later in our marriage could look back at Courtney and I's marriage and say, man, they trust in the name of the Lord, their God.
Mm.
That would be a great hope for us.
And want to emulate that.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really the mark.
So,
are we
so
building
good.
A marriage worth repeating?
That's right.
With our kids.
Yeah,
so I love that.
Our kids are watching.
They are.
And
yeah.
repeating what they see and what they learn from our marriage.
And speaking of building a marriage worth repeating, you guys have this great, new, amazing movie, Unsung Hero. So it's such a marriage movie.
Yeah.
As we watched it, of course, we're looking at it through that lens. But so tell us about the movie, the heart behind it. You know, why did you really want to tell this story?
Yeah, so a lot of people have been like, you know, Joel, Luke, you guys are musicians. Why on earth are you making a movie, you know? And so to give a little bit of context, our dad was a concert promoter in Australia. And on one particular tour that he brought back to Australia, you know, the tour didn't go very well. We lost everything that we had as a family. We lost the house, the car.
Mm.
The life savings. And so dad got a job offer in Nashville, Tennessee, and he thought it would be a good idea to move his 6 kids and his wife, who was 6 months pregnant, to the other side of the world. And that's what we did. But soon after we arrived in Nashville, our dad loses that job. And so we're sleeping on beds made out of clothes, didn't have any way for our little sister to be born in a hospital, weren't always quite sure where the next meal was going to come from, didn't have a car. The list goes on and on and on. And I've shared that story from stage for pretty much our entire career and have a lot of people come up and say, man, Luke, you guys should write a book. And once again, you know, Joel and I were homeschooled, so we don't read or write very well. And so, you know, writing a book sounds pretty hard.
Shout out to the homeschoolers.
That's right.
But we thought maybe we could make a movie. And so, I took this idea to a friend of mine in LA, a producer, and we developed this script together. And really the heartbeat behind it is I think that family and marriage is more important today than it ever has been in the history of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But yet we don't value it as such. And Mother Teresa has this wonderful quote where she says, you know, if you want to change the world, go home and love your family.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the thesis, the blueprint behind the purpose of the film.
One might say go home and focus on
the family. He did it, everybody. Yeah.
Small bone.
There was some extra brownie points there, I think, that just happened.
He just wants to win.
Now that the middle child in me, guys, now that it's a competition, I'm on my best behavior.
So what, like, during that just those early years as you guys watched your parents' marriage, like, what really stood out?
I'm going to throw to Sister Rebecca for this, because
you. You're polite, smart.
I'm putting ladies before witty. Gentlemen, yes. But also because
Luke you were
was
very five, young. Yeah,
I
exactly.
was seven.
Yeah,
I was 14.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because that was such an incredibly tense time of anxiousness for my parents, like the hardest time in my dad's life. You know, as people watch the film, they can kind of see that it was a time where he felt like a failure, mm-hmm. where things had gone just terribly
south.
You know, it was just really a rough time. But I don't remember there being tremendous angst in their marriage. Like, I feel like they had worked on their marriage at that point, and they were probably 16 years in, where they had this foundation of friendship and reliance on Jesus to where they weren't translating fear to us. Because now I look at it through the eyes of a parent and I'm like, my goodness,
how did they live
through that? And the fear and the pain of it all. But they really were trusting God and they were encouraging us to trust God. So they were honest with us about the needs, but they also just said, let's pray together as a family. And we saw God show up and we saw those miracles because we knew the need, because they were vulnerable and strong enough, really, courageous enough to be honest with us about the need. We saw God meet those needs. So I'm really thankful for how they handled it and kind of amazed, actually, now.
Yeah.
What was it like to see your mom, her willingness to support your dad's dream? And how has that inspired you and your marriages?
Well, there's something that's very true to life, Aaron, in the film. I mean, a lot of the film is very true. We actually
remarkably
snipped out based on or inspired by a true story because of how just intensely accurate it is. Without going into too many spoilers, like things like dad losing his job on his 40th birthday and then coming home to a surprise party. Like these things really happen.
It was so painful, seriously, to watch that, just going, the failure that he must
the compounding
have felt
failure.
And had to put on the face with everybody saying what they were saying about him.
Yeah. I think a couple key points, both real to life and depicted in the film. One, mom always felt in partnership, side by side, eye level with dad. Mm-hmm. You know, what's the saying? Don't be above me. Don't be below me.
Yeah.
Like, just be beside me.
And
be with me. And that was always indicative of their marriage. And when it came time to make the decision, they made the decision together. Mm-hmm. Even that moment where it talks about, you know, we thought we were going for 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So there's a beginning, a middle, and an end to it. And that seemed very palpable. And mom understood that and was able to sort of, that having that end in mind almost was, you know, I think pretty crucial to her not feeling hopeless.
Provided some strength.
Yeah.
Yeah, some hope.
And then,
and
now we've been here for 32 years,
ironically.
And then I also think she was made to be a mom. Mm-hmm. It's what she always wanted to be.
Yeah.
She was in flow, like in a way that even when I think when we look back, particularly I know Beck and Luke as parents and other siblings as parents, they go like, she was in this stride. And in this flow.
She was living her dream.
She was living her dream. And there's a power in that. And that's not for everyone. I think that has to be recognized too, that it's also not for everyone to have seven kids.
Yeah.
And so I think there was a lot of factors that go into it.
Topped out at four.
Right. I think the great crime for people is like, this is to be an inspiring adventure 90s film about the celebration of mums and family. It's not meant to be a plug and play of like, this should be your journey, you know?
Yeah.
You pull pieces from it and then you leave the other bits. Yeah. But there's no doubt that she's an unsung hero.
Just those
hero.
Messages, though, that I love. There's an Old Testament story where Prince Jonathan, so King Saul's son, has this great vision from the Lord. He's supposed to scale this, you know, tough cliff, go take on the Philistine army with only his armor bearer. So he says to his armor bearer, here's the dream. We're going to take our one sword. We're going to start climbing. And he says, perhaps the, you know, God will show up. It's up to him. But with that crazy vision, it's the armor bearer, this young kid, his response was, hey, I'm with you heart and soul. Let's just start climbing. I mean, it was that. Mm-hmm. I'm with you heart and soul. And that's what it felt like was the message between them. I mean, whatever the dream was, whether it was your dad's or hers, it was I'm with you heart and soul.
And that's that. I love that. I think that's the guts of the takeaway, right? Is like if you in marriage can go, hey, we'll find commonality, but let's start climbing. With your heart and soul, and let's go.
Wow, Aaron, what a fun conversation. Just, I love being with those siblings.
I did too. I don't think I stopped smiling the entire time.
I know. It's so appreciated, just all the wisdom, the perspective. But Joel mentioned how marriage is about choosing to love each other, and that's a big theme of the movie Unsung Hero. It reminded me of a quote. We have a good friend, Dave Willis, and he said, a strong marriage requires two people who choose to love each other even on days when they struggle to like each other.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Right? Because as a couple, we're going to have those moments where we're madly in love and things are just going perfect and wonderful. It's just that moment. But then we're going to have other moments where we're hurting, we're frustrated, and not even sure we like each other.
And we hurt each other.
Yeah.
And so it's recognizing we will hurt each other. We're going to have different seasons where we encourage each other, we lift each other up, we speak words of life. But there's times that we won't do that because we're imperfect people. We're human and we're married to another human being that has a sin nature and can make poor choices.
Yeah. So let's talk about what do we do in those moments that maybe we're struggling to really like each other.
First and foremost, even in those moments, it's remembering what we're committed to.
Yeah.
And that's committed to our marriage vow.
Yeah.
So important just to put that front and center because the enemy is going to be whispering, see, this is never going to change. And, you know, maybe you should walk away. And because this is never going to be the marriage you want, you know, it's nixing his voice and really turning to the truth and going, Lord, I committed before you to this other person, this other sinful person, and I'm going to honor these marriage vows. Now, I want to preface that if there's abuse going on in the marriage, that is not acceptable, and we just encourage you to get to a safe place and to set some boundaries around what is acceptable behavior in a marriage. We're talking about a marriage that both people matter and that the marriage is not at the cost of either one.
Yeah. You know, as a music group, Joel and Luke for King and Country, they sing about, you know, burn the ships. And I've heard them sing about that. It was fun in the movie to actually get the origin story of where they got that quote. And of course, that's from Cortez, the Spanish explorer.
Yes.
But their mom used it to really inspire them that we're not going anywhere. We're committed to being here as a family. Let's move forward. Because the whole point of burn the ships, if retreat is an option, if we have our ships to return home in, then, you know, it's easy to give up. But what she's saying, burn the ships means in a marriage that whatever ships we arrived in as a couple, we've burned those. And our only option is to move forward, figure this out, and make sure that we're doing that together.
Yeah, an important piece of that is to do that from the place of recognizing we're teammates, that we are on the same team, whether we recognize it or not, we are because we're married. And so often we'll end up functioning like opposing teams versus
adversaries.
We're on the same side, we're here together. And, you know, I just think of the many, many stories I've heard of couples choosing to view their marriage through that, even through the hardest of times, that we get to heal together as teammates. We get to make hard decisions together as teammates. We get to walk through grief together as teammates. And we get to walk through those joyful seasons as teammates.
Yeah. And we've talked about this before, but the idea of grace.
Mm-hmm.
So in those moments where we're even struggling to feel like we like each other, grace in marriage often shows up when I choose to remember, Aaron, who you've been for now almost 32 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like I know who you've been. That when I think about who has Aaron been for 32 years, okay, that's truth. That's who you really are. That's who God created you to be, with mm-hmm. purpose, on purpose, all of that, instead of just noticing how you're showing up in any
right.
one
what
given
I'm
moment.
Not doing or I am doing that you don't like.
Yeah.
But part of that is embracing that I'm imperfect,
yeah.
you're imperfect, and we're going to make choices, decisions, say things, do things, again, that are hurtful
yeah.
at times. And so when we recognize we're imperfect, they're imperfect, it's a whole lot easier to give grace.
Yeah, and that's a wonderful theme throughout the movie Unsung Hero. I mean, there's so many great examples, and you get to watch mm-hmm. as a couple how they really gave each other grace and forgave one another mm-hmm. for those imperfections and for some of the ways that they hurt each other. Mm-hmm. And it's a powerful film. And I'm telling you, you've got to go see it. So it's
yes.
in theaters now. So go watch it.
Yes. All the details will be in the show notes.
Welcome to Conversation Starters. This is one of our very favorite segments. This is mm-hmm. where we have a blue bucket in the middle of the table for questions that we haven't seen that we get to ask each other mm-hmm. because we love this idea of learning how to resist the drift. All mm-hmm. of us in every marriage, we go through seasons where we just drift apart, we lose sight. Conversation Starters, this is really about, you know, rediscovering each other, making mm-hmm. sure that we're staying updated on our lives and thoughts and dreams and hopes and emotions and all that. It's a great way mm-hmm. to protect our connection.
Yes.
So do you want to go first?
Yes, I'm going first.
You get to ask the first
yes.
question.
So, Greg, how can we create and maintain traditions for our marriage and family?
Oh, how can we? I think by trying out new things, this is one of the things that I've noticed we've been doing lately is just, you know, trying out some different mm-hmm. traditions.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're really into playing some card games
mm-hmm.
and we've kind of introduced that, not something that we ever really talked about, but it's become a little tradition at dinner time. So Annie, our 16-year-old, is the only child left with us. So the three of us—
Bless her.
You know, as we have a meal, mm-hmm. we're actually playing cards, and we get to talk through that mm-hmm. and have some fun. It's just been a fun tradition. So I think mm-hmm. it's trying some new things
mm-hmm.
that maybe we wouldn't have done in the past, and then calling that out, like, hey, that's a cool tradition. I like
yeah.
that. Let's keep doing that.
Yeah. And I would say because our family is in such a transitional position with our kids, both older and younger, you know, at the holidays when traditions are often more relevant,
yeah.
That it has to look different some years because we don't get everybody
yeah.
every holiday. So it definitely is being creative.
If you gave better Christmas presents, though, I bet they'd come back every Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So think about that.
Yeah.
Now, it's true, though.
Yeah.
You're right. So just being flexible
yes.
and kind of adapting. But
yeah.
it's calling it out is what we did the other day, going, hey, actually, this has been mm-hmm. fun to play cards at mm-hmm. dinner. Let's do that. Annie and I went out on a little date last night, and we took our cards.
Mm.
So we went to a little nearby Mexican restaurant and had some cheese dip and played
yes.
cards and talked.
Is this a new tradition, or is it the realization we're getting old?
Yes. I don't know. I don't have that insight. Okay, here's your question.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have special traditions in your family growing up?
Mm-hmm.
And if so, what were they?
Mm-hmm. We had a lot of traditions, and I don't think I realized what they were growing up. But my mom was the queen of making every holiday, every birthday special.
She was. I agree.
She just did such special things. Like she,
it was always so customized to the
right.
individual.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if she couldn't find what she wanted for someone, like for a gift, she would make it.
Yeah.
And it would
and
be
you would
better.
Never know. Yeah.
No, it would be better than anything you could even buy. And, you know, just celebrating birthdays and so intentional about, she would bake a cake always, which I just didn't seem to get that skill. But she would make your special meal and your gift would be very special. And it was just always such a neat thing. And whether it was holidays or not, you know, we developed traditions of going to the beach every summer and, you know, just very intentional things like going to church on Sunday and then coming home and having breakfast or going out to breakfast. So going for ice cream was another one.
Yeah.
They're just flooding back now. Sitting out in the back patio talking certain nights of the week. It was just, she's very, very intentional.
You grew up in Arizona, so you could do that.
Yes, like all year long, really. Yeah. Yes. So absolutely, traditions were super important. So, Greg, how do you envision our future together?
Wow. I love that we get to minister to couples. So as I think about our future, you know, as Annie graduates high school here in a couple of years, goes off to college or whatever pursuit that she wants to do, and when we're empty nesting, I could just love the thought about still traveling with you, going different places to teach marriage events, whether that's around our country. We have several international offices through Focus that we get to travel to. But there's something about traveling, ministering to couples that that I so love, because it's a different adventure every time. We get to find new places to eat and new places to minister to, and so I love that. So a big part of when I think about the future is that we'll continue to minister to couples together. Erin, for you, what goals do you have for our marriage in the years ahead?
I would say goals for me, finish graduate school.
Yeah, right. Be Dr. Erin Smalley.
A goal for our marriage would be to continue growing as individuals, which ultimately will grow the marriage. But being intentional about growing the marriage relationship means that we have to keep growing as individuals. However, it's important to recognize all three entities have to matter. And so as I am growth focused, that includes creating a healthier and healthier marriage, which means being vulnerable, which means having conflict and working through it, which means being wise financially. And so that's one goal. The other goal would be to continue to minister to marriages together.
Yeah, I love that. It's always good to hear how you answer these different questions. And this is a fun way that we stay updated and current with each other. And I just want to continue to rediscover who you are and never lose sight of that. And that's really how we resist the drift in our marriage. Well, now we're going to move on to our weekly Q&A, and this is the part of the show where we get to answer your burning questions about marriage.
Please send us your questions. You can click the link in the show notes or go to crazylittlethingcalledmarriage.com and click the button on the side of our show page to leave us a voicemail. And if your question gets answered on the show, we're going to send you a copy of our book, Crazy Little Thing Called Marriage, 12 Secrets for a Lifelong Romance, for free, as our way of saying thank you for listening and reaching out to us.
Well, today's question comes from Danielle. So let's listen to the voicemail that she sent in.
Growing up, I've always wanted a godly man. My significant other, who's not my husband yet, will go to church with us. But just we have major issues with parenting, agreeing on parenting styles and that kind of thing. But I just don't approve the way he speaks to the kids, being blended family. How long do I be patient for? I will pray for him, pray for myself, for guidance. We've looked into doing couples therapy, which we haven't done yet. We're just both stubborn. And I want someone to lead the household. That's just what I've been longing for. I want someone who loves God so much that he has to go through God to find me. And I know that it's kind of hard to come by now, but it's not possible to find. Do I settle or keep praying, or how long do I wait out and let all this happen? Thank you.
Danielle, thank you so much for your question and for calling in. I know those times of waiting can be hard.
Yeah.
And it's so hard sometimes to wait well. First and foremost, I want to normalize that it is very common for individuals to parent differently.
Yeah, we do.
Yes. And one of the number one things I hear from couples when they come in for marriage counseling is we parent differently and we're not sure what to do and you're like, how to do this.
We parent different. Yeah.
And so it's just recognizing that, that happens. I would say, you know, going to counseling can be helpful because that's a safe place where you could say, if he's not hearing you, that I'm concerned about how you're talking to our kids, that going into a counselor's office would create that safe space of being able to say that in a way that he might be able to hear you, that, hey, I'm concerned about how you talk to our kids. And then letting the therapist do their job and explore what's happening. When you talk poorly to your children, what's happening underneath that? Why is that happening? And how do we do that differently?
Yeah, and I would say, Danielle, just to keep in mind, when we're dating someone, even when we're engaged to someone, this is still where we're really observing, we're learning, we're watching, we're noticing. And so, again, if he's treating the kids in a way that really bothers you, you know, that's what you're wanting to observe. I mean, are we talking, again, I don't know what we're talking, is this abusive? I don't know what he's doing, but that's really what you're trying to pay attention to. And then to be able to, like Aaron was saying, have that conversation, because Aaron and I go through this. There have been plenty of times to where she has not approved of maybe what I've said or how I said it to her kids and vice versa. I mean, we certainly have faced that together.
However, if it's abusive, that's a whole nother story.
Absolutely.
And that's where a red flag. You would take your kids and get to safety and you know, involve others, a therapist or a social worker, someone to help your kids remain safe.
Yeah, but so if we're not talking that level of abuse, I mean, Aaron, there's times where, you know, you're talking to one of our kids and I'm thinking, that's not the right thing to say.
Yeah, when we get triggered, we say things maybe in ways that we don't usually. But the important thing is to become aware of what's happening. When I'm triggered, what's really getting triggered? What's going on underneath the waterline?
But as I have those moments where I've seen you maybe do something that I didn't approve of, the key is not ultimately how we decide or whatever the decision is. It's actually the process that you and I use. That's far more important. Mm-hmm. Like, how do we have that conversation? Are we able to come together and talk that through? Mm-hmm. Yeah, even if it's not perfect and doesn't go well, are we able to eventually really get to a place to where we feel good about that conversation? Danielle, that's what Aaron and I would be encouraging you to notice is, are you able to, in fact, have that conversation with him in a way to where you feel good about the conversation, about the outcome? Another thing that I would really pay attention to is, how is he repairing those conversations? That'd be a huge red flag for me if I wasn't ever seeing Aaron repair, or if Aaron's watching me not repair. When we have those moments as parents, we're going to blow it. We're going to say things that we never should have said. Do we then return and apologize and repair that?
But to be fair, most couples don't.
Yeah.
And so, again, we are setting expectations as far as what we want. Recently, typically,
and
we'll say—
And I was talking, by the way, about with him and the kids. So if he— If he— you know, had a hard conversation that she didn't feel was right, how does he clean that up?
Well,
that's what I was talking
about. I would
say
it's important to clean it up with the kids, but also between the two of them.
100%.
And so it's just looking at, we often will say we train people how to treat us. And recently I had someone push back on that and say, is it like you're training a dog? No, that we're setting expectations of appropriate behavior.
Yeah.
And if your spouse is talking in a demeaning tone, in an aggressive tone, or an unkind tone to your kids consistently, that's something that you need to bring up as a co-parenter.
Well, one, that's a huge red flag.
Yes.
So that needs to be dealt with anyway.
Well, and what I would say then is take it to a counselor's office, right. A licensed Christian counselor, to where you can have that conversation and have someone else intervening to help the conversation go well.
Yeah. And Danielle, as far as, you know, how long do I wait? I mean, one, that's really between you and the Lord. So continue to make that a matter of prayer and pray for that wisdom, pray for that insight. God, what am I missing? You know, help me, give me a piece about this relationship. Mm-hmm. The other big one that Aaron and I know to be true is that another really strong predictor of determining should I marry this person is how do my friends and family, those who mm-hmm. really know me, what mm-hmm. do they think about this? What have they observed? Do they have concerns? And so it'd be a good thing, Danielle, to ask, you know, those who've observed you guys, who know you, who you trust, mm-hmm. what do you think? Mm-hmm. Are there concerns? And really listen, because ultimately you're the decision maker. Mm-hmm. You get to choose. And it can be hard figuring out, well, how long do I kind of wait? Mm-hmm. How would you answer that?
Well, Aaron? I would say it's a matter of prayer and also receiving feedback from people who you trust. Yeah. And, you know, do they have concerns, like you were saying, Greg? But pray. Pray for your significant other, your partner, your spouse. And, you know, what do I do as far as infusing and influencing the relationship with what I really want to see?
Yeah.
Well, thanks to Danielle for your question, and look out for your copy of Crazy Little Thing Called Marriage. And if you're listening today and have any questions for us, contact us. Click the link in the show notes to leave us a voicemail. And remember, you can always remain anonymous. Thank you for joining us for Crazy Little Thing Called Marriage. Family is so important, and that's why Focus on the Family exists.
Absolutely.
I'm so glad we got to talk about why it's important, and we want your marriage and family to thrive.
Yeah, be sure to like, listen, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And be sure to share this episode with your friends. We want you to have a seat at the table every week as we help equip you and your spouse to have a lifelong and satisfying marriage. We want to see you growing spiritually as individuals and as a couple so that you can turn around and invest in other couples to help them build thriving marriages.
Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again next week about this crazy little thing called marriage.
Is your marriage holding on by a thread? For deep hurt, you need deep healing that only comes from the Lord. And you'll find it at a Focus on the Family Hope Restored Intensive in Michigan. Our licensed Christian counselors will help you and your spouse get to the root of your issues in just 3 to 5 days. And it works. 80% of the couples are still married 2 years after attending. Learn more at HopeRestored.com and talk with a trusted advisor. That's HopeRestored.com.